All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. So y'all bow with me, please. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us each and every day. We thank you for the time that we've had here together as part of your church, as part of your kingdom. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone who is in this world today that is part of your kingdom. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with those of our number that are sick and in the hospitals and are coming back home. We ask that you be with them and help them, encourage them and comfort them, and guide the doctor's hands that minister to them. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us as we go into our Bible study. Help us to do all things in accordance with your will. Help us to rightly divide your word, and then help us to apply it to our lives so that we may better serve you. We ask you to be with us always, and we ask that you forgive us of our sins. And we ask these things in your Son Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right. Glad y'all are here tonight. Glad you're here tonight. Look at there. I found a dime. That's your dime? Hey, at least I've got some sense now. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. She's had it several times already. This is her third time? Good heavens. Yeah. The first time I had it, it about took me out, so I didn't want it anymore after that. Yeah. Second time wasn't near as bad. First time was pretty rough. But anyway, nope, don't want it no more. Need to make a couple of announcements. The next two Sunday nights, we will not be having this class. Next Sunday night is the youth rally, and Brody Sullard is going to be speaking at the youth rally, and I encourage all of us to be there for that. So come, and even though we're not having this class, y'all come and support our kids and support our young men who are leading the way. So be with them. That's next Sunday night. And then the following Sunday is the annual youth's A Savior is Born. And so we won't have it that night either. So anyway, we'll be doing that instead of having this Bible class. So 2 weeks in a row, you won't have this Bible class on Daniel. And I'm sorry about that, but I'm happy about what's going on. So that's a good thing. Also, 2 weeks in a row, we're not going to have pickleball either, so on Monday night, so that's not good either. But we are having it tomorrow, but we won't be having it the next 2 weeks in a row. We won't have it the next 2 weeks in a row. So we won't be doing that. Tuesday this week is Fat Tuesday. Okay? Tuesday this week. So in 2 days, we're going to have Fat Tuesday. And if you can come and be a part of that, that's a great, 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 great class. And we're having, infinity great. But that, everybody that comes to that class is really enjoying that class, and we're learning a lot. And those of you that haven't been, it's entitled From Judges to Jesus. So we're using the last judge, who is Samuel, up to Jesus. And we're talking about David right now, and David running away from Saul. And what we're going to be looking at this Tuesday night is the book of Psalms. We have four chapters in Psalms that David writes while he's, not necessarily while he's running, but he's writing this to describe his feelings when he was running from Saul trying to save his own life. And so it's a really interesting study because we're putting it all together. Do what? You're asking and I can't remember. I know. Yeah, it's definitely 22 and 23. 52 and 56, that sounds more like it. You wrote it down. 52, 56, we're going to start with Psalms 52 Tuesday night, and we won't get past Psalms 52. And then we'll go over to 56 after that. Then we're going to do 22. And then everybody's favorite is 23. And David wrote those things while he was running from Saul. He wrote all four of those psalms while he was running from Saul. And while he was with the enemies, which was the Philistines. And he was acting crazy on the streets of the Philistines so that the Philistines let him stay there and they didn't put him to death. And they were afraid of him because he would act crazy. So anyway, it's a really interesting study. Yes, ma'am, Miss Joni? No, we will not. We will not. That week... It's Christmas week, and no, Kathy and I are looking at being out of town. Yes? No exercise class until after New Year, so I don't have to set up the chairs or nothing. Okay, I won't set up the chairs or nothing. The exercise classes start back on in January, and so does the fasting classes start back on in January. Okay. Now, if y'all remember correctly where I left you last time that we were here together, we weren't here last week, but when we were here together last time, I left you with Daniel seeing a vision. And Gabriel came and spoke to Daniel. We're going to see some of that today, how Gabriel came and spoke to Daniel. But Daniel sees this vision, and this vision causes him great distress. It causes him great distress. And it's kind of interesting because in this vision, he is actually seeing, and I'm going to give you a little heads up, he's actually seeing what's going to take place among the Israelite people. And he's going to see their persecution and how they turn away from God. And he's going to see all these things occurring. And it causes him great distress. You know, one of the things that I spoke of a couple of weeks ago, was the fact that knowing the future doesn't necessarily give you comfort. It may give you great distress in knowing the future. And that's exactly what happens with Daniel. And so passage, or in these passages that we're going to be looking at tonight, realize that Daniel is in great distress because what he saw disturbed him. And what he's seeing is the falling away of Israel. That's what he's seeing. So it disturbs him greatly. Okay? Also, what we're going to see here as well is that we're going to see Gabriel giving Daniel great comfort in these things. Because Gabriel is basically going to tell him, say, yes, these things are going to happen. Bad things are going to occur. But God's going to win. And good things are going to come. And so that's the message that Gabriel gives Daniel. So he gives him hope of something better that's going to take place. And folks, that's one of the things that we have today. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's what I commonly call the love chapter. It's where Paul talks about what love is, and then if I don't have love, then I don't have anything. That's basically what he says. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, which is the last verse in that chapter, He says, now abide what? Faith, hope, and love. Don't be King James and me over there. She said charity, yeah. Yeah, don't be King James and me over there. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of an interesting side note, but King James wouldn't put love down there because they considered that to be a sexual type thing. And so the original translation of the King James Bible says charity. And so they put charity in there. That's changed in the New King James. The New King James puts love in there because it's actually translated into love. It's not charity. But yeah, so don't throw King James at me. I'll throw it right back. Okay. Faith, hope, and love. Remember, hope is one of the things that we now have that abide in us. We have hope. And that hope is a hope of a better place, a hope of an eternal salvation with God, a hope of a place that has no pain, no sorrow, no hunger, no thirsting. This is what we look forward to. This is the direction we're going. And so that is one of the things that we hold on to. And remember, the book of Revelation is a book of hope. Because basically it tells those seven churches to remain faithful. Because we're going to win in the end. That's hope. Just hang on, remain faithful. God's in control. God's going to take care of it. We win. And that's the hope that is given to us. And so Daniel also receives that hope from Gabriel. Because Gabriel tells him about this. That these things are going to happen. Things are going to get better. Even though there's going to be a time that's going to be bad, things will get better. And so the idea is to comfort Daniel through hope. So that's where we are tonight. And in Daniel chapter 10, starting with verse 10, and it actually goes through the end of the chapter, and actually goes into chapter 11 too. You'll see that as well when we get there. But we'll try to finish up Daniel chapter 10 tonight. But I've already been scolded for going overtime by Rendell this morning. So I can't, I'm not supposed to go overtime, but... Yeah, going through the line over there. Yeah, I knew that. Let's put it this way. I know where that comes from. I know where that comes from. Well, how about you, the messenger? I'm the one that gave the message. So there you go. All right. So let's take a look. The man in the vision. Notice how I put this. The man in the vision is more than likely Gabriel. Okay? And the reason why I say that is because there's other verses that point to Gabriel making these comments to Daniel. So the man in the vision, which is not named, but more than likely that's who it is, the man in the vision began with an encouraging message for Daniel. Now remember, Daniel at this point is very distressed about what he sees. And if you look at these things and we go through these things, you're going to see a lot of history in this. Daniel speaks of these things, and these things happen. So you're going to see a lot of history in this, and I'll try to bring it out for you to see it. But he starts by encouraging Daniel and announcing that he was highly esteemed. You're highly esteemed. If you're highly esteemed, he's talking about being highly esteemed by who? God. By God. I hope I'm just esteemed by God. I don't have to be highly. Just a little bit. Like Kathy says, if I get a broom closet in heaven, I'm good. You know, I don't need a mansion. Just give me a closet. You know, just give me somewhere to stand. I'll be good. Okay? He explained... This being, probably Gabriel, explained that he had been sent to answer his prayers. Been sent as an answer to your prayers. Now, how many of y'all like to watch Christmas movies at Christmas time? Okay, y'all watch the Hallmark Channel? Don't watch the Hallmark Channel because every one of those movies is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. It's a man and a woman. They don't like each other at first, and then they get to where they like each other and they get married. That's the story. And it's a different man and a different woman every single time. So, and a different town. So if you like those type things, then have at it. But I like Charlie Brown Christmas is what I like, you know, and Lucy and all that. That's my favorite. We watched my favorite Christmas movie. Y'all ready for this? No. Yeah. It's not Die Hard, although that's number two. My favorite Christmas movie is actually Bishop's Wife. The original Bishop's Wife. You've never seen it? Oh, you need to watch that one. Black and white. It's really good. Okay? And that's my favorite one. And the reason why it's my favorite, I'll just tell you. Do what? Cary Grant's in it. David Niven's. And Loretta Young. That's the three that are in there. Anyway, the reason I like it is because I always wish that I could be an angel and come back just to help people. And that's something I've always wished for. I don't know why I've always wished for that, but I always have. I always wish that I could come back and do that. But, folks, we're not angels. So that may throw a kink in things. But anyway, Cary Grant's an angel. And when he comes back as an angel, David Niven is the only one that knows that he's an angel. And he tells David Niven that he has come for the purpose of his prayer. That he's an answer to his prayer. And so he tells him that. And so it's a really good movie, and I really like it and stuff like that. And in 1947, you looked it up. That was a little bit before my time, but not much. But anyway, I really like that movie. But the key there is, and what I'm getting at, is that he was an answer to his prayer. Gabriel, in this setting, is an answer to Daniel's prayer. Because Daniel is distressed by this. And he didn't understand it. And so he's asking for help from God in order so that he would understand and the distress would be lifted. This is what his prayer is. And so Gabriel explains to him, says, I'm an answer to your prayer. I'm answering your prayer. A pattern appears here for the comforting of Daniel. Now let's look at this. In verse 10, he was touched and lifted. In verse 16, he was touched and enabled to speak. And in verse 18, he was touched and strengthened. So we see how Daniel is strengthened, he is encouraged, he is lifted up by this visit from this angel. A loving relationship with the Lord was the basis for Daniel's being sustained and strengthened. It's the fact that Daniel is highly esteemed by God. So God went to him, sent someone to him to strengthen him and help him through that time. John wrote, perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Now realize that verse right there, the wisdom about God begins with what? The fear of God. That's exactly right. But John says in 1 John chapter 4, and realize 1 John chapter 4, John is talking to Christians. John is saying here that perfect love casts out all fear. And I've told you that I don't fear judgment day, because the perfect love has come. It's Jesus Christ. And so there's no reason to fear, because Jesus Christ is with us. Now, if He wasn't with us, there's plenty of reason to fear, because you need to fear the judgment of God. But with fear comes wisdom. And that wisdom brings about an understanding. And I've told you that before, dealing with your parents. You know, when your parents, when you were growing up, you feared the wrath of your dad and your mom if you did something wrong. But then later, when you became grown, if your mother or your father asked you to do something for them, you'd go do it, because you love them. That's the perfect love. You love them. You didn't fear their punishment anymore. And I told y'all, when my mother was 94, she'd look at me and shake her finger at me. She said, "I can still whip you." I said, "Well, you'd have to catch me first." But realize what John is writing about. He's telling us that the perfect love of God, if you have that, then that should cast out all fear of any punishment that might come. John is talking to Christians here in those verses. Perfect love casts out all fear. God loved Daniel. And so He sent His angel to talk to Daniel about that perfect love. And that perfect love is part of this vision. When a man loves God, he is not afraid of what God says to him, even if he does not like what He tells him. Daniel doesn't like this. Daniel doesn't like the fact that the Israelite people or the Israeli people are going to turn against God, the Hebrew people. He doesn't like that. But he should not be afraid, because God is that perfect love, and God will take care of these things. Just as Daniel responded, may my Lord speak, in 10:19, we can open the Scripture and allow God to speak to us. And that's what we should do. Perhaps the events described in the vision should be seen as an eventual suffering of God's people. His overthrow of their tormentors and His execution of judgment upon His tormentors, the enemies. What does God do? He overthrows those people. The announcement that the vision pertained to days yet future apparently dismayed Daniel. It confused Daniel. But One resembling a man, probably Gabriel, touched and encouraged Daniel in chapter 10, verse 16 through 19. All right, let's take a look at the verses now. Start with verse 10 in Daniel 10. Okay? Now remember, from this verse, starting with this verse, Daniel is receiving comfort. Daniel is receiving comfort, because Daniel is very distressed about what he has seen. All right. "Then behold, a hand touched me." He's talking in the first person there. "And shook me on my head, on my hands and knees. And he said to me, 'Daniel, you are treasured. Understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand at your place. For I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. So what does he say? He says, I've been sent. Who sent him? God sent him. So I've been sent to you to tell you about this situation. I've been sent to you to help you in this situation. Now, one of the things I want to bring out right now is remember when Jesus was in the garden. Remember when Jesus was in the garden, Jesus prayed to let this cup pass from him. I want you to realize something that's only mentioned in the book of John. But in that book, it talks about how the angels had to come down and strengthen Jesus. They lifted him up. They helped him. He knew what he was about to go through. He was distraught. He was at the point of collapse. And they came to strengthen him, to help him. Same thing here. The angels have come down. Gabriel came down for the purpose of strengthening him, for the purpose of helping him. And notice how Daniel responded. Scared him at first. He stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. You prayed for it, you asked for it, and here I am. I have come to help. But the Prince of Peace, But the Prince of the Kingdom of Persia was standing in my way for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. Who is Michael? The warring angel, the archangel, what we like to call the archangel. He's the warring angel. So we have two angels here. We have Gabriel and we have Michael. Now, I've always said that there were only two angels listed by name, and that was Michael and Gabriel. And somebody said, well, what about Lucifer? And I said, no, I don't count him. He was Satan. And then Rendell brought up another one. There's one more. Who was it? You told me, so I'm leaning on you. To the abyss. Okay. So there's one other that's mentioned. But realize that most angels are not called out by name. None of the angels that went to Lot were called out by name. None of the angels that spoke to Abraham were called out by name. So with that in mind, realize this also, that Gabriel was the one who spoke to Mary. Gabriel was also the one who spoke to Elizabeth. Now, who was Elizabeth? John the Baptist's mother. So, it was Mary's cousin. So, Gabriel was the messenger. And so, Gabriel gave messages. Michael was the warrior. Michael's the warrior. And I'm going to bring this up here in just a few minutes about how Michael was the one that defeated Satan and cast him out of heaven. I'll bring that up in just a few minutes. What is it? Abaddon is the other one. And that's in the book of Revelation. So that's three individuals or three angels that have given a name. Apollyon. Okay? All right. Verse 14. Go ahead. Governor, you had something? That's in Revelation. Hold his feet to the fire, make him dance a little. Yeah, that's why I called on you. I didn't forget. Okay, verse 14. We'll keep going while he's looking that up. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people, who is his people, Israel, in the later days. Now, realize the terminology that is used here, talking about later days. That terminology means this is something that is going to happen in the future. This is something that's going to happen in the future. It's not going to happen now where David or Daniel is. It's going to happen in the future. And so, once we get into it in chapters 11 and 12, once we actually get into those days that it's talking about, it's the Persian, Medo-Persians, it's the Greeks, it's all those kingdoms that we looked at when we looked at that statue that was in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It was those kingdoms that are listed off. And so it goes back to that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And Daniel told about that. I'll put that up there next time we get back so that y'all can see that. Revelation 9:11. Okay? So these are things that are going to happen in the later days. These are things that are going to happen later. Because the vision pertains to days still future. Verse 15, when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human, that's how Daniel is describing Gabriel, one who resembled a human was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. And said to him who was standing before me, my Lord, due to the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. He is concerned about this vision. Like I said, knowing the future may not be something that you want to know. May not be something you want to find out. Now, if they would, knowing the future, would tell me the lottery numbers, that might be a little different. But yeah, knowing the future may not be a wise thing. Yes, I do. The issue is that we see things from a human perspective. God sees things from a world perspective or a universe perspective. We see things only as they're happening. God sees the results of what these things will be. And so in that regard, as we look at that and understand that, you know, if we see the final result, then we see the victory. But too oftentimes, we don't see that final result. We only focus on what's happening now. And so we don't see the end result, which the end result is victory. And Daniel's no different. Daniel's seeing this vision, and it scares him. Because the people are going to turn away from God. The people are going to rebel. And the people are going to be put in great peril, they're going to be persecuted. All these bad things are going to happen to the people. But the bottom line is, God's going to win. God's going to win. Go ahead.
In the other visions that Daniel had, he was able to understand.
Right.
Is there any connection here to his being distressed because he did not understand it?
That could be part of it. I think the vision itself was extremely, would be extremely fearful, graphic. He's seeing what's going to happen. And he's not liking it. And that would be the cause of the distress. But it is interesting that you bring that point up, that in the other visions, Daniel understands totally what's going on. This vision is different. Daniel doesn't totally understand it. It's not until Gabriel later tells him in chapter 11 what's happening that he understands. It's not until that time. Okay? Verse 17. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath left in me. Daniel is saying, I don't have anything left in me. This has taken everything out of me. Then this one with human appearance, Gabriel, touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, you who are treasured, do not be afraid. Peace be to you. Take courage and be courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke to me, I felt strengthened and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. The L's in lowercase because he's not talking about God, the Lord. He's talking about the angel. That's lowercase. Questions, comments? It is showing a term of respect. It's showing, people call other people lords all the time, especially in monarchies. They call them lords all the time, but those are small L's. Those aren't big L's because the big L goes to God. The small L goes to those that you are showing respect to, that you are showing that they have authority over you. So, you'd say my Lord to your boss or whatever. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. Again, fought Satan because Satan wanted to take Moses' body. Yeah, he fought Satan to make sure that Satan did not get the opportunity to take Moses. And Satan's argument was that Moses sinned, so therefore I get him. And God says, I forgive whom I wish to forgive. Yes, sir.
Is when in that instance, it's always troubled me. Were they actually fighting over his body, his human body, or his soul?
His soul.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. His soul. The key there is eternal damnation versus eternal joy with God in heaven. And so Satan wanted him. Satan wanted him. Satan wants us, too, because he knows where we're going, and he doesn't want us to go to heaven. He wants to hurt God, and every person that he can get away from God hurts God. And he knows that. Yes, ma'am. Just a second. Here you go. Yep, talk.
And I had this little thing going on with this morning.
Uh-huh.
I last week, so taking my meds and everything, but when I'm supposed to, I'm telling you, God has said you need to stop listening. all this stuff, this garbage. It's not even no helping you. Like, I'm starting to listen to, like, music that is, like, Christian music. Uh-huh. You know, praying and all that stuff. And I want to share that with you. It's floored me, but it's just I'm starting on my resolution.
Well, I can tell you all this, that we all need to quit listening to a bunch of garbage. Because it's on every channel, everywhere in the world. A lot of garbage out there. Just turn it off. And turn on what Kathy and I are watching. We watched a little bit of this afternoon. It's a Wonderful Life. That's a good one. It's a Wonderful Life. That's a good one. Okay. God sent His angel down that time too because an answer to a prayer. All right. Having been strengthened, Daniel was able to begin understanding the vision. Now, we've been on this vision now for about 3 weeks, and we still haven't gotten to the description of the vision. We're not going to tonight either. But we're going to get there. I know. We're going to get there. All right? After Christmas, probably, yeah. After Christmas, definitely. The next section goes through chapter 11, verse 1. Now, one of the things that I want to tell y'all is that chapters and verses are a man-made thing. So realize that there are times that whoever decided what chapter is what and what verse is what, that it cuts across some of the things that should be in other areas. Okay? This is one of the things that this has been cut. And so this actually goes through chapter 11, verse 1. The numbering system that later came about was by invention for our convenience. So it's a lot easier to find things if you give me Joni book, chapter, verse. It's a whole lot easier to find it that way. Okay? Than it is to say, well, it's in there and you have to look it up. That'd be hard to do. So that's a man-made thing. So, having said that, sometimes the arbitrary divisions fall in inappropriate places, and this is one such place. The message for Daniel at this point was a repetition of the reason for the angel's delay in granting understanding. Remember we read that the angel was delayed, that Gabriel was delayed because of what was going on with Michael. The angel was delayed. That's in chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. The vision concerned two kingdoms. Now, I find this interesting because of my history background, but I can tell you without a doubt that this is historically correct. This works. And whenever I see the Bible being historically correct, and you can look at it that way, it just proves to me that this is definitely God's Word. Because this was written considerably before these things happened. All right? So we're looking at two kingdoms. The first, the angel would go and fight against the prince of Persia. The Medo-Persian Empire existed for a little more than two centuries. This is historically correct here. From 539 to 331 B.C. Yes, sir.
When Gabriel was delayed, he delayed because of the happenings between Michael and the Persian kings, correct?
Right, correct. That's what it says.
That seems hard for me to understand that an angel could be delayed by human kings. I don't understand that. Don't know that we're supposed to, but anyway.
Probably not supposed to, but I can tell you this, in my class on Sunday mornings, we're talking about Abraham. And Abraham was told in Genesis chapter 15, verses 12, 13, and 14, Abraham was told specifically that his descendants would be in captivity for 400 years. And the reason why is because they had to wait for the falling away of the, of a nation, the Amorites. God had to wait on them to fall away. Because when they fall away, then God brings the chosen people into the promised land and destroys them. That's when that happens. But he had to delay for 400 years before that could take place. Now, God knew they were going to fall away. So he says, I'm going to give your descendants this land, but we got to wait on these things to happen first. This is the same situation. You got to wait on these things to happen first before the angel can come and tell Daniel about what's taking place. So in that, understand, you're not talking about somebody causing an angel to be delayed. What you're talking about is things happening first before God's plan could be carried out. It had to happen in the order in which they happened. We'll get to you in just a second. Let me go here. Go ahead, Lee.
Could that be a spiritual battle as well?
Yes, it was, definitely. Definitely, it was both. Go ahead. Just like the fullness of time for Jesus to be born. All these things had to happen to lead up to Jesus' coming. And if those things don't happen, then Jesus doesn't come. All these things had to be in place. And I've told y'all that the Roman Empire is very much a part of that. Because, if y'all remember right, I told you about this, the language of the world was Greek. Everybody spoke Greek. Even though people spoke Hebrew, even though people spoke other languages, everybody had to speak Greek because Greek was the language that the Romans used to do commerce. And if you're going to do any kind of commerce with Rome, you had to speak Greek. All of their letters, all of their contracts were written in Greek. Well, what does that do? That makes it far easier for the spread of the gospel because everybody spoke the same language. Okay? Everybody spoke the same language. Daniel 11, verses 1 and 2, briefly discusses the history of future Persian kings. What relevance would this conflict between the angels and the prince of Persia have for God's people? The relevance is that these things had to take place in order for God's plan to follow through. The struggle involved all the decisions and relationships pertaining to the Jews during the Persian period. That's good, bad, and indifferent. All of their decisions. This is the period, notice this last point up there, this is the period involving the reconstruction of the temple, the deliverance for the Jews during the time of Esther, permission for Ezra and Nehemiah to return, and their subsequent construction of the city. These things had to take place. The rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem had been ransacked at this point. These things had to take place. All that in that last bubble right there is historically correct. Second, the angel would deal with the prince of Greece who would come. Who is that? Everybody knows this person. Alexander the Great. Daniel 11, chapter 11, verses 3 through 45, discusses the Greek Empire, which the Greek Empire was from 331 B.C. to 63 B.C. in much detail is what that covers. And that's Daniel 11, verses 3 through 45. Go ahead.
So if you're saying that the angel would deal with the Prince of Greece, that means God killed Alexander the Great?
God dealt with the Prince of Greece. Matter of fact, remember when Alexander the Great died? Okay. Alexander the Great died, and when he died, he had four generals, they decided to divide the empire of Greece. It was 32. Nobody knows. Yeah, he died. Yeah, he died. He's a young guy, 32 years old, but we don't know what he died of. At that time, 36 was the average life expectancy for a person at that time, so people didn't live very long. Yeah. But remember, Greece fell because of the four generals who decided to divide Greece into four kingdoms. Four kingdoms couldn't stand. They had to be united. Okay. Got something right here?
Was that when that statue that the head was brass and all?
Yeah, that's
the
all
feet,
that's
the
all
feet
part
was
of it.
They broke all the pieces. That was them.
Well, the feet were the Roman Empire, actually. But the that was the middle part. Yep. Yep, sure was. In this case, the Jews would return to the promised land and would be in the middle of the conflicts between the Seleucids, if I said that right, in Syria, and the in Egypt. I got Egypt right. Okay. They would be persecuted by the Seleucid king and Antiochus the IV, Epiphanes. That's who they would be persecuted by. The chapter concludes with the angel saying, "Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince." The phrase "Michael, your prince" opens the possibility that the archangel had special responsibilities over the nation of Israel. In Daniel 12:1, it is said that Michael would protect the people of Israel during their time of the struggle with Antiochus, I guess I said the IV. That's better. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 12, the war in heaven was led by Michael. That's supposed to be Michael up there. Who along with his angels expelled Satan. That's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 12. Now notice this. This expulsion from heaven happened when Jesus made atonement for the sins of the world and was exalted to the throne of God. A lot of people have asked, when did Satan get expelled? When Jesus bound him. He was expelled. Acts 2:33 says this, "Therefore, since he has been exalted at the right hand of God and has received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he has poured out this which you both see and hear." Any questions? I'm going to stop there because I'm already over and I'm already in trouble. So there you go. Yep, I know you will.
That was the first gospel preaching, wasn't it?
Yep, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Not over by much yet. Yeah, I definitely don't mind. All right, any questions, comments? This is very much, what I'll do between now and the next time we get together is I'll show those statue back again, let y'all take a look at it up there on the screen, let you see that information, because that goes back, this section leads us right back to that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And so, yeah, and so we'll see it. And we'll talk a little bit about that, too, before it all is said and done. Now, realize this. When Greece fell in 63 B.C., that's when Rome came on. Rome became the leading nation. All right, we'll stop right there. We'll pick up there in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Is anybody here who needs to take the communion? Anybody? No. Doesn't look like it. Okay. All right. Turn it over.